to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Proverbs, chapter number 4. We're going to read just one verse tonight for our beginning point of our time together and of our thoughts. Proverbs chapter 4, let's read here in verse number 23, Proverbs 4, verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now the heart, as it relates to the physical body, is considered to be the fountain of life. A great deal of our physical health is dependent upon the regular and normal action of our heart. Over the last few years with experiences of Jeremiah, we've learned much about the operation of the heart and the amazing organ and muscle that it is, and the operation thereof as God designed it is an amazing, amazing miracle. When you consider that by a normal rhythm of contraction, the heart sends life-giving blood to the smallest and most remote parts of our body, thereby bringing life to it. So one might say that as goes the heart, so goes the body. Meaning that if you don't have a healthy heart, you're going to have an unhealthy body in some form or fashion. It is going to be hindered. The lungs and the heart are closely related. And then, of course, as it brings the blood that is needed to the rest of the body, we see that it has an effect. It has an effect even on all the way down to our toes. This organ right here has an effect on every part of who we are and what we do as our physical lives are concerned. But verse 23 here isn't talking about that physical heart. It isn't talking about that which beats, you know, second by second, pumping blood and bringing life to the extremities of our body. But instead, what is being talked about here is the seat of our emotions. What's being talked about here is the center of our moral system, the center of our, as we said, emotional state or emotional system. So making comparison then, as we consider that emotional or that moral system, the heart is the term that is employed for the affections or for the emotions, which the heart, as we mention it, is seen as the seat thereof, or out of which we see here in verse number 23, the issues of life flow. The issues of life flow, our responses, how we feel, the things that we go through each day, out of that heart or out of the seat of our emotions and affections, come forth the issues of life. And when we consider it as such, we must understand that it is a very important part of our life and existence. It has a great bearing upon our lives. It has a great bearing upon how we respond and react to one another. It has a great bearing upon how we live from day to day. It has a great bearing upon even how we please the Lord and how we treat each other. Our heart has a great effect. And so we are told here in verse number 23 to keep or to guard our heart because of how important it is. Now, when the heart is talked about, love is the thing that becomes synonymous. When we mention the heart, that is what we begin to, or most of the time, think about. But there is so much more. Love is just one emotion that is seated in the heart. Love is just one affection, if you will, that is present there and just part of what the heart does. The heart has so much more to do with our lives than perhaps we give it credit for. Now, as the former's healthy action affects the physical body, the physical health of the body, meaning that if our physical heart beats properly, then we are going to be, for the most part, in pretty good health. We might be overweight and we might have some other problems and things, but as long as you have a healthy, steady beating heart, you're going to have a good a good overall, if you will, healthy system to counteract or to help with those things. So goes the heart, so goes the body, when we talk about the physical heart. But so does the latter affect the entire moral and emotional health and well-being of the individual. So in other words, when we're talking about the emotional seat, we're talking about our heart in that sense, it's just like our physical heart. It affects every part of who we are and what we do. It affects everything about us. And that is why it is so important. So much emphasis is put here upon guarding it, upon keeping it, because the issues of life come forth from there. Now turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, a verse that is certainly familiar to us, talking about the heart. And in it we find that man's heart, as we understand it, man's natural heart is desperately wicked. And I want you to picture it just like the physical beating heart that brings blood in, oxygenated blood in from the lungs, and then as it flows through the chambers of the heart with each constriction, sending it out then, of course, to the furthermost reaches of the body, bringing health. It affects every part of it, doesn't it? It affects every part of it. Well, here, as we see in Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse number 9, man's natural heart is desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is, in its natural estate, the heart of man, the center of our emotions, is desperately wicked. And with every beat, with every constriction, it is sending that depraved sin and that depraved influence to every part of our being. We often say that sin and depravity has permeated every part of who we are. And we say that if we could assign a color to sin and then look at our bodies, that it would be colored, that color, whatever we choose, every part of our body would be. Why is that? Because the heart is desperately wicked and it is beating and it is sending forth that which is sinful, that which is evil, that which is depraved to every part of our body, and it is coloring everything that it encounters, everything that it touches. It is taking that, of course, to it. After salvation, we find, is a different story. After salvation, as Brother Hancock used to elaborately and well talk about the heart transplant and Dr. Jesus and doing all these things, you know, we are given a new heart. A new heart that beats after the things of God. A new heart that with every constriction has the ability to send that which is good. Our emotions, that which is right in our affections, that which is right in our dealings, that which is right issuing forth to every part of our body. And so we are given that new heart. But the problem is, we know that doesn't eradicate the old man. We know that that doesn't eradicate the flesh that we still carry around with us, so that there are two competing interests in our hearts. We titled the message tonight, When Calls the Heart. If you really want to know why, I'll tell you after church. I won't say it to everyone. But when the heart calls upon us, we understand that there are more than one interest in mind. The flesh has its interest. The flesh has its direction. The flesh has its desires. And then, of course, that new spirit, that new man, has its desires. It has its wants. It has its emotions. All of those things are competing within us every time we make a decision, every time we respond, every time we do anything inside of a relationship. I mean, every moment of every day, our heart is beating. Our heart is pumping. Our heart is working. And it is affecting how we think, it is affecting how we talk, it is affecting how we go about our work and our daily lives, it's affecting how we interact with one another, it's affecting how we treat our spouses, how we treat our kids, it's affecting how we serve the Lord, it is affecting everything about us. That heart is beating and going on and on each day. So then I want you to think this evening about our heart as a storehouse. Our heart as a storehouse or as a sponge. As a sponge. I want you to think about our heart as a sponge that we store things up in. That we have things that we put therein. Our hearts are like storehouses or like sponges out of which proceed the issues of life. As our physical hearts pump blood, our seat of our emotion, it pumps our emotions. It pumps everything that we've been referring to here tonight that has been placed therein. And so the question is, what is in our hearts tonight? What has been placed there? What are we storing up? What are we absorbing in to our innermost being? What are we taking in? What are we storing up there? What is coming to reside in that place? Now read verse 10 here. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. A thorough examination of the heart by echo or by EKG or by blood tests, by monitor that you have to wear. All of these things can determine the health and the vitality and the operations of the physical heart. And so too, as the Lord describes here in verse number 10, he searches the heart. He tries the reins. He sees what is within man. He sees what is within our heart. What are we storing therein? God tries the heart. He searches it. And he does so most of the time with an operation that's sort of like this. He squeezes. He takes our heart and he squeezes it. Now, I'm not trying to be emotional because sometimes people will say my heart has been squeezed and they're really referring to a sadness or they're referring to someone playing to their emotions. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. Our heart is like a sponge. It absorbs that which we bring within. It absorbs that which we place there, which we allow to come in through our eyes and come in through our ears, come in through our thoughts, come in through all of these worldly influences, that which we put there. And the Lord comes along from time to time and he squeezes. He squeezes the heart, or he allows the heart to be squeezed to see what is therein. To see what is residing within the heart. To see whether it be good or whether it be bad. To see whether it be righteous or whether it be sinful. Again, the question is, what are we storing in our heart? And this is a little demonstration that came up with concerning this. If you think about, as we said, the heart is a sponge. And what we put in there certainly has a great bearing on what comes out. It's just like, sort of like cooking in a recipe. If you don't put good things in, good things aren't coming out for the most part. You know, you can be a really good cook, but, you know, those limitations are there. So if we put in good stuff, in other words, if we put in that which is good, that which is righteous, that which is holy, when the Lord comes along and he squeezes our heart, we see the good stuff comes out. It's clear. It's pure. Get a little bit more here. Squeeze a little more and you see the good stuff comes out. We find as we put within that which is righteous, that which is holy, when we absorb the things of God, when we absorb that which is good, when our hearts get squeezed to test and to try, that which is good will come forth. How do our hearts get squeezed and how does God do this? Well, he does it in a variety of ways. He does it through testings and trials. He allows it to happen through tribulations in our life. That testing, again, it's not just an emotional thing I'm talking about, but any time we have those calamities and difficulties of life, it's a squeeze happening. And what comes out, of course, is that which is what we've put in, what we've allowed to reside there. And so it might be that the Lord is going to squeeze your heart tomorrow. And I would imagine that for every one of us, to some degree, there's going to be a squeezing. There's going to be a testing. to see what is therein. And you think, well, that doesn't sound very fair. Well, the Lord has been doing that to His people since the beginning of time. I mean, it says very plainly of Abraham that God purposed to try him and many others down through the ages. And so we're no different. We're no better. And so God tries the heart to search out and see what is therein. If we put in that which is good, we will get out that which is righteous, that which is pure, that which is holy. But if we allow ourselves to put in the evil, the bad influences of the world, if we allow our hearts to be colored by the things of the world, if we allow our hearts to be directed by that which is an evil influence or bad, that which is misleading, if we allow ourselves to store up that which is evil or that which is bad, of course, we find a much different result when we go and place those things in our heart. We find ourselves with our heart being squeezed in a much different result, don't we? A much different result. Now, as we consider this and think about how the squeezing here was the same, the sponge was the same, so in other words, the heart was the same, what made the difference? What made the difference in this example that we've put before your eyes tonight that you might take it in? It wasn't the squeezing. It wasn't the sponge. It was, of course, what we put into it. What we put into it was different. Therefore, what came out was different. When we are squeezed by trial and by storm and by emotional pain or by persecution, we are tempted to blame the squeezing for the sin. We're tempted to blame the circumstances for that which comes out of the heart. In other words, we are tempted to blame the one that has got the sponge in his hand, or the circumstances which has caused it to be compressed and what comes out. But my compressing this sponge and my squeezing it to wring it out has no effect on what comes out. It has no effect on whether a clear liquid or whether something more defiled comes out, does it? No. The squeezing is the same. The squeezing only reveals what has been stored up within the sponge, or what we're talking about tonight, within the heart. And so we have to be very careful what we store therein. We have to be very careful what we allow to be absorbed into our heart, because the squeezing is just the revealing agent. When you go through the difficulties, the hardships, and I've tried to list a few things here tonight, but the squeezing can come in just about an unlimited number of ways, from an unlimited number of sources. It can be as simple as words spoken between husband and wife. It can be as dramatic as child in the hospital or death of a loved one. It can be anything in between. And just about every day when we interact with each other, when we make decisions in life, when we go through, serving God here, our hearts are being squeezed and what is within comes out. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 17. Christ here talks about the heart. The Jews, of course, had been taught since Mount Sinai in the giving of the law that there were things that they couldn't eat because they would defile them. They would make them unclean. And God did that for a particular reason, and He had that rule, let's say, or that in place for a particular amount of time. Once Christ came and the gospel season started, those things are gone. And Christ says as much here in Matthew 15 in verse number 17. And the reason, part of the reason why God did that was He was teaching them a spiritual lesson from the physical. And Christ talks about that here, Matthew 15, 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That was another rule. Of course, they had to wash in a certain way or else they would be defiled. And the whole point was they were learning that they could not, just in whatever state they were in, go and worship the Lord. They were being taught that. And we were able to be taught that too through that physical example from the Old Testament. But now he's telling them, understand that what you eat, it doesn't cause sin. I mean, certainly gluttony could be a problem and a sin, but if you eat without washing your hands, that doesn't defile your soul. But he says, look at the heart. And that which comes forth out of the heart defiles a man. As our hearts are squeezed and tested, as trials comes, and as these things happen, what comes out of them? What comes out of them? Of course, what we've put in them. So tonight, as your heart is squeezed, and if it were to be done in an open manner before everyone, what would come out? Would it be evil thoughts, murders and seditions and fornications, these things that are mentioned here? Or would it be glory and praise to God? Would it be somewhere in between? See, our heart being a storehouse, we need to be in charge of what goes in there. We need to be guarding it, because as Proverbs said where we began tonight, out of it come forth the issues of life. And in doing so, it affects every relationship we have. It affects how we glorify God in this life as we serve Him here. It affects how we are faithful church members, how we please and glorify God in all of this. Whether it is or not, of course, as it is squeezed, it'll come out in our relationships. It'll color our decisions. It will frame our responses to people. You ever bite someone's head off? That's an emotional response. That is, and it can be blamed on a lot of things. You say, well, I was tired and all that. Maybe you were. But in a lot of ways, it's what we're keeping within. What we are storing up. What is your response to, you know, someone that wants your attention as far as boyfriend and girlfriend, or more than that, as time would come? What's your response? It's going to be what's stored up in here. And if what's stored up in here is, you know, the thought of Prince Charming sweeping me off the feet and all those kinds of things, our response is going to be colored by that. And we need to make sure that we're storing up more than just what the world wants us to think and what the world wants us to believe and how it wants us to act. We need to be in the Word of God. It needs to be what is stored up in our heart. What does Psalm say to us? David says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. That's what needs to be there. That's what needs to be there so that it would color our relationships. It would frame our responses. It would come out in our decisions, that we would glorify God in all of this. And so we see that what comes forth is that which defileth a man. And a lot of times we allow our hearts to be overtaken. We find ourselves being wrung out, so to speak, and it's not good that comes out. We need to replace it. We need to put forth that which is good and that which is right. Now, this morning we talked about marriage and the importance of that glorious institution and relationship that God has given for us to partake in and glorify Him in. In marriage, what is in your heart has a great effect on your relationships, what you store there. All of your relationships has a great effect on what our heart is issuing forth toward our spouses, toward our friends, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, towards those that we're supposed to be witnessing to and being an example to. I mean, all of that is colored by what is within our heart. And I want to give you one example tonight of how what is stored up in our heart comes out in the wrong way, so to speak, or it comes out to our detriment. And at first you may think this is a kind of a off-topic subject, but it really isn't. We want to just finish our time together tonight by thinking about anger, because it is a great example of what we're talking about tonight. We can't hit all the examples. We can't cover everything, because the issues of life from top to bottom come forth from the heart. And so it does color and frame and affect every part of what we do. And so anger is a good example of this and how it works in our lives. And so we want to finish up by thinking about that tonight, having all of this about the heart in the back of our minds and, in the foundation of this thought. But anger is one example of how the heart and how it beats and what effect it has upon us will show forth to those around us. Every day, I would say that we all have our hearts squeezed and we are tempted to respond with anger. Every day, there's something that happens. Every day, there is something that transpires. And so whatever is here will come out and will certainly be evidenced. First of all, when we think about anger, understand that anger is not caused by others. It cannot be. Anger is an inward response. Anger comes from what you have allowed yourself to store up in your heart. Anger comes from here. It doesn't come from other people. Other people don't put anger within you. Other people and circumstances and situations of life do not cause anger in our heart or in our lives. It simply doesn't work that way. Anger comes forth from the heart as a response to what is happening around us. In other words, we begin to get frustrated. We begin to get mad. We begin to get angry because as we see things happening around us that we don't like, our heart is being squeezed, and what is coming out of that sponge is anger. What is coming out is not pure and righteous and holy, but instead it is anger, perhaps even hatred if we allow it to fester and go on too long. We cannot blame our circumstances anymore. Understand this. We cannot blame our circumstances anymore than this sponge can blame me for squeezing it for what comes out. Sponge can't blame me. I mean, I'm just squeezing it. I'm not causing what is within it. And so we can't blame our circumstances. We can't blame others. We can't blame our situations. We can't say, well, he is so hard to get along with. She is so, difficult. Or that situation was impossible. We can't blame what is around us. Anger comes from here. And it is an issue of the heart. And as our heart is squeezed, we are tempted to respond with anger. Anger is the response to what is within our heart and it not being good and it not being right, to us having stored up in our hearts, bad feelings or bad memories, allowing ourselves to be taken emotionally to places that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be led to. It's a response in this way to these things. So don't blame your anger on others. Don't blame your anger on your circumstances. Don't blame your anger on these things. You might be sitting there saying, well, I'm not an angry person. And that's probably true for most of us. Some people have a real problem with anger where they get physically violent and they really lose it. But we don't have to get to that level to experience anger or to lash out and cause others to be hurt. You see, our anger hurts other people. Anger that is put forth in marriage can really damage a relationship. It can hurt any kind of relationship we have in this life. And so it's not caused by others. We need to realize that. It's the squeezing of our heart and what is coming forth there. And we can't blame the squeezing. Secondly, when we think about anger, turn over with me to James chapter 4. Oftentimes, maybe not 100% of the time, but very close to it, when you feel yourself or your heart being squeezed by circumstance or by other people, and you find yourself getting angry, you find yourself beginning to respond to what is happening with anger in your words or in your heart, most of the time it's because we're not getting what we want. You say, well, that sounds pretty childish. That sounds pretty immature. But you think about the anger you've experienced in life. And there is a righteous anger and an indignation even Christ exhibited. That's not what we're talking about. But think about the times you've truly been angry at someone else. And you'll find that most of the time, it's because whatever was happening wasn't to your liking. Whatever was happening wasn't what you wanted to have happen. And so we need to consider that. And here in James, if I continue turning there, chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Now these two verses, they don't immediately scream to you, perhaps, of our topic tonight. But consider what verse 1 is really saying. He's talking about a squeezing of the heart. He's saying that there is this struggle, this turmoil that is happening, a squeezing going on, and the lust and the war that's going on in your members. You've put things in there that perhaps shouldn't be there. You've stored up things in your heart. And so it's causing a great conflict within. You lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. That is all saying to us, basically, we're not getting what we want. And it causes this response of anger. The next time the squeezing comes and tempts us to be angry, ask yourself in that moment, what am I not getting that I really want? Or what is not happening that I would really like to happen? What is that? Now, it may be a situation you need to address, but you need to get rid of the anger before you do it. I mean, you maybe need to discipline your children. You may need to instruct your employees. You may need to do something about it. But let us get rid of the anger first. Let us not feel it as a personal attack when these things take place. Anger comes upon us because we're not getting what. For example, and I'll tell it myself. For example, when it's time for bed and your kids don't want to go to sleep and you feel a little bit angry about it. You feel a little bit angry about it because you're not getting what you want. You want kids that obey perfectly every time. Well, guess what? They don't. They're little sinners. And so that's what they do. They practice sin and they don't always do what you tell them to do. The first time you tell them to do it, but also because you'd rather be relaxing than overseeing bedtime and the many times that it takes. My wife read something the other day that said bedtime's like the old whack-a-mole game. You put one down and another one gets up and all that kind of stuff. But that's me. And so when I thought about this, when I came across this thought, it really hit home to me. Because when I feel angry about that situation, it's because I'm not getting what I want. Now, should my kids listen to me? Of course. Should they respect that authority? Should they go to bed? Of course, and they do. But I don't need to respond with anger when the heart is squeezed. You see how it affects, how it colors, how it works upon every part of our body, every part of our lives. We need to be careful and guard that which is put within our heart, because it affects all of this. So the next time you are squeezed and anger begins to build within you, immediately ask yourself, what am I not getting that I want? Or that I think should be happening? And a lot of times you're going to find, well, that's unreasonable. You're going to find, why should I expect that? I'm not the center of all things. And then you begin to deal with that and make the situation better. But anger certainly comes on this way. And then thirdly, we need to understand that anger never makes anything better. It never leads to righteousness, and it always makes things worse. It will never lead to a substantive change in the lives of others. Let's remember back to our demonstration tonight. Let us think about what we have already before us. In this dish, of course, it's, you know, defiled water. Let's think about that defiled water as a coworker, as a friend, as a relative that needs to come to Christ. And they are, you know, still having that old heart, and they need to be saved. And you have the opportunity to be with them. You have the opportunity to witness to them, to have an effect on them. But as your heart gets squeezed, anger comes out. Is my adding more defiled water to this bowl going to change how it looks? Is it going to change how it, how it responds? Is it going to change it in any way? No. It's not going to change it at all. And so we need to be very careful, because our anger, and then again, this short look at anger is just representative of so many things. But it's not going to do any good. It's not going to make a substantive change in the lives and hearts of another. It is not going to bring them to Christ. It is not going to improve their life. Let us not store up bitterness, envy, strife, grief, pain, you know, in these things, which will lead to anger. If you put bitterness in your heart, if you allow it to grow, if you put within your heart strife and malice, anger is going to be very easy. You're going to be easy prey for anger. And so we need to consider what is within our heart. It absorbs like a sponge everything that we bring in. Let us bring in that which is good, that which is right. Let us bring in that which is holy. Let us bring in that which is godly, that which is of the Word of God. Let us store up within our hearts the Word of God as David, that we might not sin against him. Look over to Proverbs chapter 15 as we conclude this thought tonight. This verse will certainly relate to anger, but of course the principle is applied to everything we've talked about tonight. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, if you were to categorize the ability to have a soft answer, would you say that it was a skill? Because some people think that it is. We even try to teach people how to be, you know, a mediator, or how to be a negotiator, how to stand between two, how to, mitigate violence or anger when they see it happening. But even more than that, perhaps it is a skill that can be learned in some, but even more than that, it is an issue of the heart. Having the ability to have a soft answer when your heart gets squeezed, that has less to do with skill and tact and ability than it does to do with what you have put in here. Because if somebody gets angry with you, our human nature wants to get angry right back very quickly. And again, apply that across the board to the issues of life that are within the heart. Having the things of God stored up therein will give us the ability to respond properly. And when our heart's squeezed, good will come forth. Therefore, we need to guard and keep our hearts tonight, so that when our heart calls, our answer will be godly. Our answer will be good. Our answer will be positive to those that we are around, to those that we are with, positive and uplifting and those kinds of things. And that's all has to do with what's inside. We need to make sure that we are storing up that which is good and that which is right therein, so that when the heart calls, we can do good and please God in it. Because when your heart is squeezed, and it will be, I guarantee you, probably before the night is over, and certainly during the day tomorrow, to test and to see what is therein. What do you think is going to come out? Will it be that pure, clean, you know, water that we demonstrated tonight, or will it be that which is defiled? Remember, that which comes out of the heart has the potential to defile a man. And so we need to be considerate of that tonight, and ask the Lord that He would help us, that He would guard us, that He would strengthen us, that we would be able to
guard our hearts and keep them, because it affects every part of us. When you see heart patients, especially children, but I mean across the board, I mean, it seems like such a small part, but yet if there's something wrong with that heart, their life is not what it should be. Their life is not what it could be. Their health is impacted. They are kept from doing all that they would like, whether it just be shortness of breath or it could be a death door or somewhere in between. It affects everything. So does the seat of our emotions. So think about that tonight. Think about this demonstration and pray that God would cause it to sink deep within us, and that we might store up that which is good so that we can respond accordingly and please God in all things. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.